The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hold on just one second.
Yeah.
Chew, I mean, we don't have millions of people listening, but you signed up to be stupid from 7 to 9 every single morning, and you're not scared of that.
Yeah, but people know I'm stupid, and I do it very well.
Chewy was right. Holy
Chewy was right. Could you imagine Gabe, though, Jen, on the first tee, start of the Ryder Cup, looking across from Rory McIlroy going, I think I got him. Gabe Wood, this is like third base to Gabe playing softball. I think I can beat him. I really do.
Well, now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to.
Packers gearing up for Monday Night Football tonight, taking on those Detroit Lions. Look, week one was not good. No one is going to try to make an argument that it was. But it doesn't have to be a referendum on the entire season, and the Packers can do a lot to change the narrative that exists right now by coming out tonight and just throttling the Lions like they always do. Gabe, however, is not as convinced. Gabe telling us he is, quote, terrified about tonight's game. Now, Gabe, you will be at tonight's game. You're headed up to Lambeau Field. You're currently at Whistling Straits, prepping for the Ryder Cup. And you are terrified about the Packers, you know, laying another, you know, heaping pile this time at Lambeau Field against the Lions.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, this is the worst. I want people to feel sorry for me. It's a really tough day at work. You know, had to get up early this morning, come to Whistling Straits, you know, check everything out, and then I got to go to Lambeau tonight. Yeah, this is terrible. By the way, shout out to our friends at Delzer. Yeah, it's the worst. Shout out to Delzer, a full-service commercial print industry leader dedicated to providing premium experiences for brands pursuing excellence in design, print, and fulfillment. With 72 years of dedication as a Milwaukee-area print pioneer, Delzer consistently exceeds expectations with a reputation for flexibility, attentiveness, and high-quality results. Create content you're proud of with Delzer's design services. Captivate your audience with tailored print materials that tell your story and make your supply chain logistics to the next level with Delzer's Fulfillment Solutions. Find out more at Delzer.com. Delzer commercial print done right. They're bringing you Ryder Cup coverage all week long here on 94.5 ESPN. But the worst part about playing bad is then having to wait until Monday night. Because that's what's making me more nervous about tonight's game, because the Packers play poorly week one. Now they've got an extra long wait before they play. And then you get to watch and see, okay, well, all right, let's take a look at the Saints, see what the Saints did. Oh, man, the Saints... Saints only scored 7 points yesterday. 11 of 22 for Jameis Winston. He threw two picks, no touchdowns. They only ran for 48 yards after they gashed the Packers defense. Like, that's what's making me more and more nervous. Yes, the Carolina Panthers are 2-0 right now. I still don't know what the Carolina Panthers are. And maybe that's the approach I should take into I don't know what the Green Bay Packers are at this point. But watching the Saints team that we saw last week and then pairing that up of the Saints team we just saw this past Sunday, like, it's making me even more nervous about what the heck happened last week, and it makes me no more nervous going into a Detroit team that, as Chewy has mentioned, you know they're going to be prepared under Dan Campbell. I don't know if they're actually going to be good, but I know they're going to be prepared for tonight's game, and that's just making me worried. Okay. Terrified. Nervous.
You could be the New York Jets, however, because you mentioned the Carolina Panthers. Not only are they, is their quarterback experiment just backfiring on them with Zach Wilson throwing four interceptions yesterday. I believe at one point, it may have been the final stat, but I saw that he had more interceptions than completions. I think maybe it ended up the same. Maybe it was 4-4 or something like that. Meanwhile, you jettisoned Sam Darnold to Carolina, and what's he done? Oh, they're just 2-0. So let's just pause for a minute and pour one out for Jets fans all over the world right now who are dealing with that unfortunate situation. It could be much worse. But I will also say, what if the Saints' performance against Carolina wasn't so much the referendum on their season, but the clunker that we want to assume week one for the Packers was, right? Like, I know they lost 26-7 and it doesn't look good, right? There's that picture circulating on social media of a Saints player basically upside down with his hiney in the air and a Carolina player tackling him with his head kind of right down there in the hiney. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but check it out on social media.
What an incredible visual job that you just did there, Jen. I actually want to commend you. I'm being dead serious. Jen's way of visually giving that to the audience was spot on. So I just...
Well, it is. And I said hiney way more times than I ever thought I would. There's also this situation with the line. And I know Chewy brought it up, and we've talked about it a little bit in the first hour of the program. If you missed any of that, of course, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. But the line started at 10.5. It moved to 11. Now it's 11.5. So it definitely seems like people are thinking that this is going to be a bounce back game for the Green Bay Packers, who traditionally respond well to adversity, who they have Aaron Rodgers under center. He plays better when he's mad, when he's embarrassed, when he's upset. I think this has all the makings of a typical throttling that Green Bay does when they're taking on the Detroit Lions.
I mean, again, I really hope you're right, and I really hope that Vegas is right with this big line. In any time an NFL game gets into double digits in Vegas, like, it just doesn't happen all that often. I know we like to give Chewy a hard time because the Packers were 12-point favorites in Super Bowl 32, the Super Bowl that they lost, and I don't think we've seen a double-digit line in a Super Bowl since that game. But to get to double digits in the NFL, like, that's... Vegas is expecting, as you mentioned, the Packers to bounce back. I should take solace in that, but I think what's happening as I am here at the Ryder Cup, like, I'm nervous for Team USA, even though they're the better team than Team Europe. Like, on paper, I'm really worried about them winning because I want this golf course to show out, and I want this, because who knows, the next time we actually get a professional golf tournament on the men's side back in the state of Wisconsin. So I want I want Team USA to win. I want them to win here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm nervous about that. I'm here. I'm nervous about the Packers. I'm going there. Maybe everything's just kind of like coming together. And Ashton, what do you do when multiple things are making you nervous? Like, I don't know how to handle this.
God, I'm glad you
so
asked.
Ashton, a day that ends in Y, what do you do?
Well, you see, Gabe, what happens is I get through that day. I get through it. I do whatever I can to get through it. And then I go to bed, and I can't fall asleep because I'm worried about everything that's going to happen the next day. So the answer to your question, you're screwed, and I'm sorry.
That was not the pep talk you were hoping for from our friend Ashton, who we consider really to be the official, unofficial nervous person, the official unofficial nervous man. Listen, we said the show was going to be dysfunctional because we are all in different places. I think we've done a pretty good job of keeping it together, but if Gabe continues to down spiral with the Packers game tonight, you know what, there it is. Why don't we just make that make that your ringtone, or make that an alarm. Let's set an alarm on your phone, Gabe. And every 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you think you need, right? You can self-medicate when it comes to this. You just let that play. That makes you feel better, right? The Vikings losing on losing by missing a last second field goal.
It is good! No, he missed it. Good.
Literally the only thing that could make the Vikings losing on a last-second field goal better is Paul Allen thinking that the Vikings won, but in actuality, they didn't. Can you imagine? Just imagine for a second being a Vikings fan listening to that game because you're out doing whatever you have to do. Okay, but I want to listen to this Vikings game. They're playing well. Great back-and-forth game. And then for that half second, or maybe even a full second, I don't know how long Paul Allen thought it was good for and held on to those two O's in good. But, like, for that second, you're like, yes, my team won. They bounced back after that overtime, you know. And then they go ahead and lose. After losing in overtime last week.
No, he missed it.
See?
Good.
See, that's putting a smile on your face. I appreciate that. I think that's going to be the ball. So that's going to be the thing you need to do. Chewy brought this up, though, last week, saying that even if they beat the Lions tonight, he's still not going to feel good about the outcome. And you even mentioned it have to be absolute throttling for you to invest anything into a win tonight over the Lions. Now, that probably just goes back to historically the Lions being such a bad team, always underperforming, not having the horses, et cetera, all the reasons why they have been kind of the laughingstock of the division. Don't make a Bears joke. I know you want to make a Bears joke. Don't make the Bears joke that you want to make. Is there anything that would happen tonight that would make you feel good about the game? Does it have to be an absolute thrashing? Do they have to just kick their teeth in? Do they have to send them back to Detroit just embarrassed the Packers were after week one in order for you to be like, okay, things are starting to move in the right direction?
I don't think it has to be a throttling now, just because after watching and seeing what the Steelers did this weekend, and that's the next opponent at home in 2 weeks, but more importantly, how the San Francisco 49ers looked. Because I thought after that game against Detroit last week, it looked like the San Francisco 49ers, the Super Bowl team from 2019, was back. The way they were able to run the football, control it, Jimmy Garoppolo looked good. But they didn't look that good against the Eagles this past week. So now suddenly I'm thinking, okay, the 49ers, that looks like more of a winnable game than I thought. So if the Packers just turn it, it doesn't have to be a thrashing, like 56-7 or anything like that. But if they win 28-10, 31-13, just do what they have to do and make it a convincing win to get back on track, it's going to make me feel better about the next couple of games, because those are going to be tough games against teams that presumably are going to be good the rest of the season.
Chewy had to step out dealing with a personal matter right now, so let me speak for him, because his biggest concern coming off of week one was not, in fact, the offense led by Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. It's the defense. So I feel like for Chew, there's going to have to be some showing that the defense is better. And of course, Za'Darius Smith not on the field because he's now been put on IR, which leads me to believe that maybe this is the end of the Za'Darius Smith, I don't know, run in Green Bay. I mean, the way things have played out there, Gabe, it looks very unsettling, unsettled. It doesn't have your typical, oh, a guy got injured, he's going on IR feel to it. It feels like there's something else percolating there. And for that reason, you know, thoughts have entered people's minds that maybe this is, in fact, the end of his time in Titletown.
So Tim hit us up earlier today at the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. He said, I get that all the reporters feel that there's something more with Z than meets the eye, but if he's placed on IR, there has to be an injury, right? Backs can be, you know, a pain in the neck. So is there a legitimate injury there? Obviously, with the back. But there does seem, the reason why reporters are feeling that there's something more there, like when we talk to Jason or you see tweets from Rob Domofsky, guys like that that are around the team, and you can't get in the locker room now, it's because of the hesitancy that head coach Matt LaFleur has when talking about the injury. It's very obvious that Matt LaFleur is trying to make sure he says all of the right things when it comes to Za'Darius Smith, because it's a delicate situation. But it would appear to be that, yes, there is an injury there, but at the same time, there are other issues there, and they're all kind of coming together. The issue, though, with your question, Jen, with Za'Darius Smith, is they would have to open up some cap space in order to actually get rid of him, whether that's a cut, whether that's a trade. They would have to find a way to open up salary cap space, which would be hard to do at this point because they've nickeled and dimed their way to get to the $7 million under the cap that they're currently at. I have no idea where they would get an additional $3 million to absorb any sort of cut or trade for Za'Darius Smith. And that doesn't include then having more money under the cap to kind of maneuver your way through the season. So I think Za'Darius is still going to be here, and it's something that the Packers are just going to have to find a way to deal with. And hopefully the back gets in, you know, the back gets better, the Packers start winning, he gets back on the field, starts getting sacks, and everybody can move on. But the longer that losses linger or, you know, some dysfunction lingers, it's going to be tough to work your way through.
Well, he will not be here tonight, not playing for the Packers. And again, if you're looking for that defense to make some strides after week one, because they were clearly, you know, beat like a drum when they played the Saints in week one, and Jameis Winston looking like a future Hall of Famer, they will have to do it without Za'Darius Smith. How do the other guys come through? Let's continue this conversation when we get back. Also, Gabe is terrified of a Packers loss tonight. Are you also terrified? On our ESPN Milwaukee Twitter poll, it is currently 50-50. 50% of people saying yes, they're terrified. 50% of people saying no, too early in the season to tell.
Ashton, is that supposed to make me feel better? No, like the fact that there are more people terrified. With me that are terrified, like, is that, like, I've got support, but then I'm still terrified? Like, what do I do?
Well, Gabe,
what do I do with my hands?
As I said before, you're screwed.
Oh, man.
We'll continue with the show right after this.
It's very
I'm
heated.
A sommelier for peeps. I'm a peeplier.
What was that word
Ashton
again?
Comes out with the peeps menu. Well, here are our options for your dessert peeps.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Can I complain to the airline about my laptop being destroyed coming back from State College? No, I'm being serious in here, Gabe, okay? Like, you leaving your laptop in the parking lot of the golf of Brown Deer Golf Club. Is that what it is? Brown Deer Golf Club?
Yep.
Yes, score. Yeah. hey, just like moral victories here this morning on what I said would be the most dysfunctional show we have ever done in the history of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All of us in separate locations, but somehow we're making it work. That was your fault, okay? You left your laptop in the parking lot, okay? Mm-hmm. I simply put my laptop into my roller bag, which typically never leaves my side, okay? When I fly, I am a staunch do not check your luggage gal, okay? Like, this is a rule I made a long time ago when it came to traveling. You just never know. You don't want to ever show up to a location without your clothes, right? I can't wear my Lululemon and my tank top to my interview with whomever I'm interviewing. So I always have my luggage with me. But on some of these smaller planes, that's exactly right. I am kind of a big deal, Ron Burgundy. On some of these smaller planes, they make you gate check your bag, okay? So now my roller bag goes underneath with all of the other luggage. And in that process, coming back from State College on Saturday, my laptop got smashed. I sent you a picture. Have you ever seen anything like that? It was a giant gash in the top of the laptop.
It's like somebody tried to stab your laptop. That's what it looks like. Like somebody took, you know, a Jason knife, you know, from the Halloween movies and just tried to, like, take a big dent in you. That's what happened to your laptop. I don't know how, because it was in a suitcase. I saw the picture. I just can't make it make sense of how that would happen while it's inside of a suitcase, unless I never asked this follow-up question. Does your suitcase have a giant hole in it from somebody stabbing through the suitcase and then, you know, the laptop was collateral damage?
Well, first of all, I think we have to consider the possibility that, yes, I have a lot of enemies. There are a lot of people out there who do not like me. I mean, how that's possible, I think.
I can't imagine.
There's no way. They're obviously irrational human beings. But maybe they thought that they could, like, hurt me. It was a sort of, like, voodoo suitcase that if they stabbed the suitcase, it would somehow hurt me in turn. I don't know. The point is, I don't want to part ways with my suitcase. I want to keep my suitcase closed. It's a bit of a security suitcase, if you will. So the fact that I had to give my suitcase over and they put it underneath, and in the process, not only did my laptop get destroyed, but now I am laptop-less. Okay, I feel naked. I am laptop-less for the foreseeable future. I feel like somebody needs to pay for this. Heads need to roll, Gabe, and I feel like it should be an airline head.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised you haven't started making calls yet. I'm trying to figure out how you can start making said heads roll. Just as long as me and Ashton's heads are okay, whatever other heads have to roll, But is there a collection of people that are worse with laptops now than us four? I mean, between me and I didn't even get to this part of the story, because this is what I found out after the show on Thursday when I told the story, and if you missed it, you can check it out, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts, where I left my laptop in the parking lot of Brown Deer. Somebody, some great good Samaritan, turned it in, but my laptop did get clipped. Like, somebody at some point ran it over, like, on the bottom right of my screen, there was, like, a spider web crack, so obviously there was some pressure, it broke. Half the screen didn't work, but shout out to Jody and our great IT team. He got me a new screen in, like, a half hour. So I'm back up and running, and I'm fine. But now you've got your issue with the laptop. Chewy clearly does miss multiple meetings because he can't figure out Zoom. And Ashton was terrified to ask for a laptop, despite Goodcomer Brands, if you're a full-time employee, like, you get a laptop, but Ashton worked here for 2 years and does all this other work, and he had to have Josh DiMaggio, the producer of Scalzo and Brust, go, hey, you should have a laptop, and Josh DiMaggio got Ashton a laptop. So we're terrible, like, as a collective with laptops.
I think that's a very good point. Ashton, why didn't you just ask for a laptop?
I just didn't want to bother anybody. Like, everyone's else always busy, and I was doing my own stuff, and I always had my own laptop, and I was using other computers, and, you know, then Josh, he found out about it, and he was rightly, like, concerned for my well-being, for what's wrong with you, and then he asked somebody why I didn't have a laptop, and then the next day I had a laptop. So
yeah, you need to take a page out of Jen's book, which is bother everyone. Just everyone is basically at your disposal. It's like Chewy when he's like, Gabe, can you mail this out for me? Gabe, can you handle our fantasy football team? Gabe, can you do this? I mean, he's got a long list of things that he has Gabe do for him, and you won't even ask for a laptop. I just wonder, to my point about the airline, can I file a complaint with the airline for my laptop? I mean, do you like forego some of those rights or something when you get on a plane? Is it like, hey, we're going to get you to your destination. You're going to fly through this aluminum can in the sky. Appreciate the technology that gets you to Cincinnati in an hour and a half. And if your laptop is, you know, destroyed in the process, deal with it.
See, I feel like you're going to have, I feel like you have a great case because, you know, if things get damaged inside your luggage, like, they can be responsible for that. And I don't think it's a situation. So when I fly, typically I'm taking golf clubs with me. And if you don't have a hard case for your golf clubs and a golf club breaks or something, then you do not get, like, that's just, you know, hey, you should add our hard case. Like, it's tough luck. And I know that when I fly. But I feel like it's not, hey, you had your laptop in, we didn't take care of your luggage, you know, tough break for you. I feel like you have an actual legitimate complaint that you can file here. And again, I know you're incredibly busy because you got back from, you know, you turn around from College Game Day on Saturday and suddenly you're already in Cincinnati getting ready for Game Day this upcoming week. And maybe you haven't had time. I'm surprised you haven't had heads start to roll at whatever airline you had to fly into College State. Or excuse me, I did pull the thing that you pulled last week. It's not College Station. That's in Texas.
You pulled the thing. You pulled
State
the thing.
College.
Stop pointing.
State College in Penn State.
Especially on company time. Please, Gabe. I actually almost pulled the thing on set. So I was referencing State College in my lead-in for my feature on the... Yeah, I almost pulled the
Jen,
thing on set.
If you pull
set,
the thing
exactly.
on set, I don't know if you're going to be working for ESPN again.
Well, listen, I think that you guys can make an argument that I don't deserve to be on College Game Day anymore after what I said on the show on Saturday. But we'll get to that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Lots of polls in the field this morning. Go ahead and weigh in on those. Gabe is terrified of a Packers loss tonight. Are you also terrified? More votes are in, guys, and it remains 50-50. So there are more people out there who are in your camp, Gabe, than I even thought. 50-50 right now. Yes, I'm terrified. No, too early in the season. I know that makes you feel good-ish because there are other people who are siding with you, but also bad-ish because...
It's very conflicting.
Terrified Packers fans. Should Chewy watch Ted Lasso? 75% right now. 75% people saying, yes, he should watch Ted Lasso.
I wish we could use peer pressure on Chewy. Like, he's the one person, I think, in my life that I can't peer pressure to do anything. I feel like other people, I can definitely peer pressure. Chewy got no shot. No shot to peer pressure him. Even if that poll was 98% of people think he should watch Ted Lasso, he's not going to watch Ted Lasso.
I don't know. I think that he's impressionable. I think 98% of people saying he should watch a show. Now, he could go your route and do it just out of spite and stubbornness and be like, well, since everyone wants me to do it, I'm not going to do it. But I think when he sees like a high percentage of people are into the show, the thing about this is, and this is like the one little caveat, he is always looking for a new show. He is always asking us about shows. But again, he made the point that it's football season now, so he can just watch football. But I've never gotten more requests for show suggestions from anyone else in my life than one Mark William. I think it's William Chimura. I think it is, but I don't know. Is spelling a curse word on the radio the same thing as saying a curse word on the radio? Booyah! 50% of people say yes. 50% of people say that spelling a curse word is the same as saying a curse word. You guys thought it was going to be a lot higher.
Jen,
people saying,
Jen, 50% of people then are going to get fired.
Is it really not okay? You really can't spell T-W?
No. You can't spell any of those words.
So basically, if it's four letters, you just have to avoid it at all costs, huh?
Correct. That is correct.
This, somebody should have told me this when I signed up for this
you
radio show.
You work on TV!
I always thought it was different. Don't make any more good points, Ashton. We'll take a break. Be right back after this, Gabe.
We've been doing the show for a year. How have you not figured this out yet? If you need to figure something else out, like, hey, I want to get engaged, where do I go for a ring? It's easy. You go to the jewelry center. Head over to shoptjc.com. You can build a ring on there. We get a quote within a few hours. And what's great about the jewelry center is their friendly staff. They're great staff. Dean and the gang over at the jewelry center has put together very knowledgeable people that are going to be able to help you out. If you don't have a clue what you want your ring to look like, well, take a look at your significant other's Facebook, her Pinterest. Get ideas. Send that to the jewelry center. They'll be able to help you out. Plus, engagement rings are starting at just $7.99, which can boil down to $35 a month because they have financing interest-free. And if you have a little issue on your credit, don't worry. They can probably help you out. Jewelry Center has three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington. Or you can go to their website like I did. I browsed inventory, found a great ring that I liked, worked with Dean and the gang, got the ring, got engaged. Now we're looking forward to getting married next June. Head over to their website, the Jewelry Center, shoptjc.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can you imagine people at home who are trying to figure out this power rankings list?
There is no rhyme or reason.
So
just like this show
on 94.5 ESPN.
If you haven't yet weighed in on some of our ESPN Milwaukee polls this morning, what in the world are you waiting for? We're asking, should Chewy watch Ted Lasso? 75% of people saying yes. Ted Lasso cleaning up last night at the Emmys. Jason Sudeikis taking home a trophy. The guy who plays Roy Kent taking home a trophy. The what's the woman's name? Hannah Waddingham taking home a Whittingham taking home a trophy. So yeah, Ted Lasso doing a great job last night at the award ceremony and winning people over left and right. I have yet to meet somebody who's watched Ted Lasso and been like, eh, not that great.
So Ryan McGuanago hits us up on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line 800-990-3776. Ted Lasso sucks until I actually get to see it. It is not universal because you need to subscribe to that channel. How many people have seen it? Give me your login and password, and I will watch all of Ted Lasso this week. Here's the thing, Ryan. First of all, no, I'm not going to give you my login and password. Like, it's $5 a month to what? I mean, and what don't you have to subscribe to now? I mean, what you're sitting at home and all you're watching are shows that are coming in free over the antenna? Like, I don't even know if I could name you five network television shows that are going on right now. Like, the one that I can think of is La Brea. It's coming up because they promo the crap out of it during Sunday Night Football. That's about the only show on NBC I could name you. I don't know if I can name anything on Fox or CBS. I mean, I could probably just say NCIS Detroit, and it's probably right because that's all they have over on CBS. But you have to subscribe to everything. Like, you have to subscribe to Netflix. You have to subscribe to Hulu, HBO. Like, you're subscribing to all these other things. Apple Plus is no different than any of those other channels. So I don't know why at this point in 2021 you're complaining about having to subscribe to a channel when you literally subscribe to everything else that you watch.
Well, you guys told me that I cannot, in fact, say the word that they say on Ted Lasso all the time. I spelled it earlier. You told me I couldn't, but it did start with a T. So use your imagination. A couple of other T words that have been in the news a lot lately, and these ones you can say, but you run the risk of upsetting people if you say them, are targeting and taunting. Okay? I have seen more tweets. To continue this theme, what is this? This segment is brought to you by
Sesame
the letter
Street.
T. Sesame Street over here. What's the letter? What's the letter? Targeting and taunting were flooding my Twitter feed this weekend. On Saturday, it was all about targeting. A group of guys, Micah McFadden, Zakobi McClain, a lot of guys ejected as they were nailed with the targeting penalty in college football. And then taunting on Sunday as more guys were flagged for taunting in the NFL. And I think these are things that universally people feel pretty strongly against. Like, I don't think people think that the targeting is being used properly. I think people, if they had their druthers, would hope that there were two types of targeting penalties, much like in the NBA. And then when it comes to taunting, don't we like to see a little bit of bravado? Don't we like to see a little bit of guys like puffing up their chest when they make a good play? Didn't they put cameras in the end zone a year ago for guys to celebrate when they made, you know what I mean? Like, it feels a little bit of like talking out of both sides of your mouth in the NFL. And I don't know what the answer is on either of them. I have ideas, I have theories, I have opinions. But if you could fix one of those two, Gabe, one of the two between targeting and taunting, one that really affects the college game, one that really affects the NFL, which one would you put your effort into?
I would probably lean towards targeting, although, I mean, there was a taunting penalty yesterday in the Seahawks-Titans game where I can't remember who it was. If it was it Jamal Adams? But there was a defensive back who broke up. It was a beautiful play, like great play. You know, they've got a couple of talented receivers and Julio Jones and A.J. Brown on that Titans team. Broke up, beautiful play, and then he just got up and he, like, kind of flexed a little bit because he was excited. And then he got called for taunting, and like, it just didn't make any sense to me. So now, I mean, based off of that, any defensive back who waves their arms incomplete after breaking up a pass, that could be taunting with that officiating crew going forward. So I hate that, and I hate that it gave away 15 free yards. But I would fix the targeting because it is just way too harsh of a penalty. If taunting in the NFL now comes with an automatic ejection, then I would go there. But the ejection is just, it's too harsh. I understand you want to get rid of some of these hits, and you want to completely understand where you're coming from, but this is also, and it's only getting faster. Like, it's only getting bigger, it's only getting faster, it's only getting stronger in both the college and the NFL. So in these bang-bang instances where guys are getting called for helmet-to-helmet hits, yeah, it's a helmet-to-helmet hit. You got to try to be a little bit better, but then getting ejected on top of it when it's very obvious there was not, you're not launching yourself in, there wasn't, you know, intent to try to injure someone or take someone out. The automatic ejection, I feel, it's just way too harsh. And the last thing I want to do is have officials interpret, you know, was that intentional, was that not intentional? So let's get, if it's really bad, then you can eject it. But I think, as you mentioned, Jen, there should be two levels of targeting and have the officials kind of get together and use common sense about whether something was intentional or not, because the ejection is just way, way, way too harsh.
Well, they obviously both can affect the outcome of a game. Obviously, you know, like I said, I was watching the Indiana game the other day. They were taking on Cincinnati, where I currently am doing a feature on their quarterback, who's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. But you lose Micah McFadden, who is one of the best players Indiana has on defense. Now, they lost a defensive player a little bit later to injury as well, and still hung right in there against Cincinnati, one of the top teams in the country. But how you can lose one of your best guys, and McFadden absolutely is, and he's not a dirty player. You talk to anybody, they're sitting, he's not a headhunter. He's not one of these guys who's going out there looking to injure, harm, and, you know, knock guys out of games. So yeah, I think there's something to targeting, making it just two levels. Targeting one would be dangerous, but there's no intent to hurt. And it's very obvious that it was a bang bang play, and the guy just couldn't adjust his body at the last second in order to change the trajectory of his mass. And you don't get ejected for that, right? It's a 10-yard penalty, it's a 15-yard penalty, whatever you want to say. There's a penalty attached to it, but you get to stay in the game. And then two, where a guy is launching himself, where he's coming up off of his feet, where he's clearly using the helmet as a weapon, he's trying to knock a guy out of a game. Well, that's a targeting too. And then it's a 15-yard penalty. It's an automatic first down. You make it so egregious that guys aren't even willing to take that chance by launching themselves, using the helmet to make the impact. I think that has to be the way that this goes, because otherwise you are going to see guys who are missing games, missing halves, missing significant periods of time. And in college football, each game matters too much. Like, you lose one of your best players, and it can affect the rest of your season. Right. And I keep going back to the Indiana kid, Micah McFadden, who is just such an important piece of their defense. And he's not only out now for the end of the game last week, but he'll miss the first half of their next opponent. You know, like, for Indiana, that's a huge blow. And I'm not so sure that the punishment fits the alleged crime.
Well, and you can just look at the NBA. They've got, you know, flagrant one, flagrant two. I mean, this is easy. You just, okay, this is this category, this is this category. And And I understand the targeting in the college game a little bit more than I understand taunting in the NFL, because the taunting thing is something that they created. This is what the NFL does, and this is where it just becomes so frustrating with the NFL on a legislative level, because they couldn't figure out what a catch was for the better part of a decade. They wanted, you know, to make pass interference reviewable, which was an abject disaster, and now they just do this stuff to themselves. We can't help it. We're going to still tune in. We're just going to complain about it because we're addicted to football, but they did this to themselves. In terms of the taunting stuff, like, people are going to complain about this because you decided we don't want taunting in the game, and you've decided to draw this such a fine line of taunting and celebrating that it's going to be hard, I think, to kind of straddle, because Chewy has talked in the past about the mental state that you have to be in and you have to get yourself to in order to step on the field to play NFL football, because it is fast, it is violent, and you just have to mentally be at a level where, you know, you're just so high, you're trying to figure out how to control the chaos. And if a guy stands up and wants to say incomplete, or he's just kind of excited and he flexes just a little bit because he broke up a big pass in a big game, now all of a sudden that's taunting? I feel you're asking just really, really, it's just so stupid, because at what point in the last year were fans going, you know what's the problem with the NFL? There's too much taunting. There's too much taunting. They need to get they need to legislate that out of the game. What fan in the universe has said that in the last year?
Well, and I think a lot of people like that show of emotion, right? We're always talking about wanting to connect with the guys. They talk about in football how it's a little bit harder because the guys wear helmets and you don't see their faces, right? And if you want to make that, like, human connection to a player, yeah, you root for a guy because he finds the end zone. Yeah, you root for a guy because he's great. You know, he gets to the quarterback. He's a great pass rusher. He racks up the sacks. But, like, that little bit of emotion, that little bit of celebration or whatever it is, human beings like that human element. So for the league to try to blanch it out, to try to bleach that out, it just seems so silly. As you continue to try to kind of grow your product, have people identify with your players. Yesterday, the reaction to the taunting in the NFL was fast and furious on social media. I think John Mara is the only person who says he doesn't like taunting. Remember that clip from a few months ago where he was like, yeah, there's just no place for it in the game. And people are like, there is. We love it. Look, as long as it's not egregious, right? There's limits to everything. I don't want guys stepping over other players because you always have the risk of injury. There are certain things that just cross the line of disrespect, but it feels like the league was trying to eliminate any and all of those possibilities, that they just really went hard to the hole on this one. And we're like, grounded for a year. You're grounded for a year. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You caught me playing my PlayStation at midnight on a school night. Like, what are we doing here?
Especially now with, I mean, can you imagine the emotion? Like, you, if you're a player in the NFL and you just went through this past year, we were playing in front of virtually no fans, and now all of a sudden you make a big play at home and 80,000 people are going crazy because you made this great, and like you get that rush of adrenaline and you get that huge emotion to go, yeah, I made this great play, and next thing you know, it's 15 yards? What? What? That doesn't make sense to me. What does make sense to me, though, Jen, is the Packers Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes presented by Palermo's Pizza. You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. But you can also now get into the game with Palermo's Pizza's Packers Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes. All you have to do is buy any specially marked Palermo's pub-style pizza, which has a half pound of cheese on it, by the way, at participating Wisconsin retailers. Inside each of those pizzas, there's a specially marked pizza code inside. The code's printed on the underside of the paper label. Then all you have to do is go to palermospizza.com/Packers for your chance to win to enter that code. Great prizes on the line. Tickets to a game. You can deliver the official game ball and a $500 Pro Shop gift card. You can get autographed Packers helmets, autographed Packers footballs, all for just eating pizza. It runs through November 13th. It's the Packers Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes presented by Palermo's Pizza. Palermo's, it's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now I don't know if I know anything. I'm going to be real honest here. And I don't think that a lot of us Packers people who have been following the team now for the last year trying to figure out the salary cap, we don't know anything.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So put your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song.
Everybody come hang. Let's go out with the bang. A very
very big announcement on Saturday as we found out that game day will in fact be in Chicago for the Notre Dame-Wisconsin matchup. Number 18 Badgers taking on the number 12 Fighting Irish. This is going to be a big deal. Like, Fox is going to be there. ESPN is going to be there. I was campaigning with our guys. I was like, we got to go to Chicago. The other options were potentially going down to Dallas. I believe Texas A&M is in action down there. But the Badgers and Notre Dame won out. So our entire traveling road show is headed to the Windy City this weekend, guys. I couldn't be more excited. But let's just go back in time for one moment, because I was obviously on game day this past weekend, and I did a story on the Miami Cat, Gabe, as you know. I did a story. Why are you sighing? First, let's let the people hear what I had to say before you sigh your way through the segment. People looking for the Miami Cat afterward, guys, we have not been able to locate it. So you could say that his whereabouts remain a meowstery.
Oh no!
You weren't expecting that one, or your Reese.
My one question is: how did the cat get into the stadium?
Well, cats are.
That's a very good question by our friend Kirk Herbstreit, and I think it takes some of the attention off of my cat.
I'm sorry. Did you say a meowstery?
It's too forced.
Meow.
It's too forced.
A meowstery.
Meowstery.
Why did they allow you to... Did you have any more work on the show after that? Why did they fly you to Cincinnati today? Why are you doing more features? Why are you going... Why are you allowed?
Trying to say that I should be off of the show because of me? Meowstery?
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I agree with Ashton.
So fired. You should have been fired the minute you said the word meowstery. They should have been like, nope, you have to leave now.
No, it makes sense. It's a meowstery, you know, because
it's a whereabouts
for his whereabouts remain a meowstery.
No. Look, I will respect a good pun, but this is a bad pun. It was just forced. Like, meow, the only thing that meow and mystery have in common is that they both start with M. Like,
yeah,
there's no,
enough.
Like...
That's
no,
enough
it's
for
not.
A pun.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Absolutely.
Not for a good one.
Thank
not
you,
give
Dave.
Me a, give me a good cat pun.
Just in general?
Well, first of all, cats suck, so there aren't very many good cat puns out there. Good cat pun?
Here's the thing. The game is proving our point, Jen. There are no good cat puns. You could have said anything, and it was going to be terrible
meowstery
anyways.
Meowstery is a good cat pun. Meowstery.
All right, put it on the poll. Is meowstery a good cat pun?
Meowstery.
Yes or no?
You have
I
to give a
know.
Little context. You have to say,
absolutely
you know,
not.
Jen was doing,
no,
Jen was doing
not.
A story on the Miami Cat. No, I had a great time with that. The guys obviously gave me a hard time about the meowstery as well. I did insert into the lead-in as well. I said it was perfect candidate.
Okay, see, that's fine.
That's better.
That's better because
it
actually fits.
But it's also too
fits.
Obscure. Like, there are people who missed it. There are people who didn't realize that it was a cat pun because purr
but that's the best
and
part.
Purr are the same thing.
That's the good part. If you're hitting somebody over the head with a pun, that's how you know it's a bad pun. And
I think
trying
that's
to, like,
when you
force
know
meow into mystery? Like, no, that just doesn't work. That's not how puns work.
It's on the
here's
poll.
The thing. You just... Anyone on this show should not be surprised by this. I make bad dad jokes, or faux pas, if you will, all the time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, right? So our loyal audience was not surprised in the slightest by me trying to jam a cat pun into this tag.
At what point did you realize you were going to make this pun? Like, is this something you planned out on Friday?
Days,
is this something that
days
hit
before.
To you?
If I know Jen as well as I think I do when it comes to this dumbass joke, she had this planned out as she was doing the story, like a week ago.
Well, I will let you know that during our production meeting headed into the story, there was a thought that we were going to try to weave in as many cat puns as possible. And then the story, you know, we just the way that stories work, the kind of they roll out. I told you guys we were actually filming interviews for this piece on Thursday, which is like painfully late in the feature process. Like, I'm in Cincinnati today to shoot interviews for a feature that will air on Saturday. That's ideal. You get it out of the way at the beginning of the week. You have the entire week to produce the piece, to write the piece, to script the piece, etc. That was a very late start in production for that piece. So when it came down to it, we didn't have the time to put all of the cat puns in that we wanted to. But from a creative standpoint, it was me and two of our producers, and we were all in.
It is gone!
It's no good.
That's your pun. That's your pun. I'm sorry to tell you.
Her pun, I mean, I think
Jen
just
and she got kicked off. You know what? Yeah, you know what's funny is I just kicked her off. I'm done with this.
You know what? She deserved it. I'm going to say it. She deserved. She did not, because of the cat pun, she did not deserve to finish the rest of the show. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't feel bad for it.
I absolutely
mostly
agree.
Mostly because Jen can't hear me anymore. I don't think she deserved to finish the show because she made a bad cat pun, and therefore she should be kicked off the airwaves.
It is good! No, he
missed it.
It's
so good.
Yeah, perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Jen did not deserve to finish the show because of the cat pun, so she's not on the show. Maybe we'll allow her back on tomorrow. Maybe we won't. We'll have to wait and see.
It might be
We'll have to wait and see.
A meowstery.